We're starting the podcast now. Well, welcome back, everybody, to the Standby Moments podcast. This is your hosts, Jeremy. Bullfrog Lecoq. Yeehaw.
Gross.
Take it back.
It's just Maggie.
Just Maggie. She's so boring. And
Whitney.
Miss Producer. Mrs. Producer. Ooh, Miss.
Miss. Dang. You finally got it right.
We're
going to
make this thing up. We're going to call you Mission Control.
But like Miss in Control.
Damn. That's good.
Miss in Control. There we go. That'll be your official title. We're going to get business cards made and everything. Well, here we are. We're cruising through it. This is episode 9. Kind of. There's one that
there's a hidden episode.
No one may ever see. It may never see the light of day, and it might come out one day.
It was like pretty, a safety episode, just in case we get back.
I named it the other day.
We're doing it for our listeners.
Stand by, drive by.
So they don't have to sit through that.
You know, it would have been perfect if somebody here would not have muted the Starbucks order.
I didn't mute it completely.
You muted it.
I didn't.
You did. Made me very sad.
Sorry, I have decency.
No, listen. For
Starbucks
workers. They would have thought they were going to be famous.
I can assure you that guy did not care.
We should have asked.
Maybe. That was on you. Don't
underestimate the power of people.
Sorry.
Okay. What's going on today? How's life?
It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like we've been doing podcasts every day.
We're killing it.
Yeah.
We are dadgum killing it.
I think we've done 2 a week for the past 2 weeks.
Yeah. I don't even know how to do it ourselves.
we're gonna change that up a little bit, but yes.
Whitney, slow down.
Whitney is like on some speed over there. She's like, we're gonna get it done. Like, we're running out of people. Like, there's no more people in the world that we can record because there's so many.
So admittedly, whenever you guys said, I was mainly Jeremy, it wasn't really Maggie, whenever... I don't know. There was a critique which I took to heart and then overcompensated for.
What did I say?
It was that like we need to get better about this. It's something about the scheduling and then just making it. We need the people and we need to schedule them and we just need to get it done, to which I am the person that does the scheduling. So therefore I was like, well, this is about me.
I
read that and I went, you're not doing it.
The motive, the power of the we.
Yeah, there's that we again.
I am in it. I totally acknowledge the fact that I've been a hiccup in the road.
Well, and I got defensive about it because I was like, I mean, on the spreadsheet, we've gotten pretty much everybody. But at that point, I hadn't actually looked at the spreadsheet. So I was just upset that I was like being called down.
Well, and I also, Whitney asked me at least 10 times for my schedule, to which I was like, that's not a simple task because I have 4 different calendars for 4 different things. And 2 of those calendars can't be shared.
Right.
So I was just like...
Why?
Because they don't belong to me. They belong to organizations. And Whitney doesn't want the ACA calendar, I'm sure, on her calendar.
I don't think I can understand it.
Even if it was, it doesn't say that I'm available. It just says that things are on the calendar, even though I'm technically available. So it was difficult, but here we are. We're doing great.
We are doing great.
We're doing
so good, we should have a sponsor.
Do y'all know that Easter's in 2 weeks? That's wild. You told me that like an hour ago and
yeah, it kind of blew your brain a minute.
In disbelief.
Yeah. So what day is Easter on?
The 28th.
It's on a Sunday. The 31st.
Oh. Yeah, yeah, here we are. Yeah, so
I believe Jesus always dies on a Sunday. Or comes back on a Sunday.
So yeah, so next week, the week after, and then boom, Easter. Yeah. So we're 3 technically coming into next week.
Yeah, but okay, the week, the day of Easter, yes, 3 weeks, but the week is
Easter's
a week and a half.
Yeah, because we also have Good Friday.
Yeah.
Big things happening here.
Whew.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's going on. We have enough recordings to last us
through Easter for sure.
Yeah.
Praise God. We could take a break that week and just hustle.
Yep.
Through Easter production, which we love. It's always an exciting time. Doing some new things, shaking some things up, playing some videos.
Yeah.
Videos.
Playing videos.
We play lots of videos.
Yes. Fun time. Get to be with friends.
Yeah.
See,
standby moments is what they're made of.
Those are whenever the standby moments happen.
The best time. We should just live in production all the time. Cables everywhere. Mm-hmm. No problems, only solutions. I want to be your friend, and you don't have to do anything for me. I don't want anything from you.
Imagine if you had a shirt for every business you came up
with. You want
someone, Amanda,
now.
Listen, if you listen to this, please make us a business. Well, we have to have logos.
Yeah. Everybody needs to let us know. So we've been thinking about merch.
Oh, no, we're doing it.
But I didn't respond to the... Y'all sent me a text and it said, Jeremy wants to talk about merch. And
but that's normal.
Didn't respond.
Yeah, that's normal.
Anyway, because there was like too much thought about it that I couldn't really type it. I just feel like people aren't going to want shirts. I don't like shirts.
I'd like a
you
sweater.
Wear a shirt every day.
Not t-shirts.
Not t-shirts.
I don't not wear t-shirt.
T-shirts ever. Don't. I don't wear t-shirts.
Okay, listen.
Burrick.
Anyway, I know people appreciate stickers. Maybe a hat or two.
Oh, that'd be
I'm
cool.
Putting a sticker on your car.
Do not put any. My mom's going to tell you, the Giroux household does not put sticker on their cars.
I'll go to your mom's house and I'll sticker everybody's car.
Do you better not.
Listen here.
I'm telling you right now. Watch, my mom's going to listen to this and I'm going to get a text. About this point in the podcast, she's going to be like, we do not put stickers on our car. I wanted a bumper
She'll
sticker when
Facebook
I got my
me.
Car and she was like,
can you please leave a comment on our socials and that we don't leave stickers on the car?
Yeah. Do you want stickers? I might go in the parking lot on Sunday morning and sticker everyone's car.
I had to put a sticker on my car for like a parking pass for high school or whatnot. And my mom, they were like, do you really have to put that? And it's like, it's a parking pass sticker. Anyway, no stickers on cars. But stickers on water bottles, on laptops.
I want an etched water bottle.
Yeah. Anyway, so, and we need a sponsor. So...
We need somebody to sponsor this so they can pay for our lunches that we have so often that we do podcast recording planning. But we can't afford to keep paying for this. So if you own a business or a restaurant, you know, we'll
specifically we frequent Blanchard's and Noodle House or any other Asian restaurant very, very frequently. So if they want to sponsor too, that'd be great.
Perfect.
So yeah, that's what we got going on. Let us know in the comments what you would like to see merch wise.
Do you read comments?
No, because they're not there. Nobody leaves us comments. I say this all the time, and there's no comments.
Okay, well, how do people leave comments? They leave it in the like. In YouTube or the iTunes?
We've gotten
or?
Some on our on Apple Podcasts.
Podcasts?
Yeah, I think if you go to the podcast, you can write a review.
Do we have a social media?
Yes. Standbymoments.com, maybe?
You don't even know. Don't look at me like that. She doesn't even know.
What is our... I repaid for the domain just yesterday.
You
I think
did.
It's, I think it's standbymoments.com. Let me look it up. Hold on, wait.
No, but no, that's not the social media. What's our YouTube? What's our Instagram handle?
The standby moments. I don't know.
Hold
don't,
on, I'm looking it up.
That's oh the marketing goodness. Department. I'm but the talent.
Also, if anyone wants a job that doesn't pay anything, we're looking for our marketing.
If you want to be a part of this hot mess of a podcast,
it's right, all together the Standby to Moments podcast.
But I feel like if you've made it here. If you made it to this point, I think you know the name of our yeah, things.
I guess I'm asking that question because I'm wondering if someone reviews. I assume you do. You when you get on the Instagram, like can you see do have people like messaged us?
Yeah,
yeah. JD's.
It's my mom.
Hey, mom.
JD berates us. He's almost we. Almost have to get a restraining order against him because he just keeps harassing us.
About drums?
About drums.
Jamie has.
Your mom did. Your mom.
I wasn't
Your
lying.
Mom said, I really do love you guys with a heart.
Whose mom?
Maggie's.
My mom. And she said, y'all still haven't scheduled me for a podcast. No. I'm sorry, Mom. I don't know if that will happen.
Yeah, we'll have to pray about that one.
Yeah. Well, it'll be a surprise thing, but...
We'll have a special guest that day.
You know too much information about me to have.
Maybe we'll do one when Maggie's not available, and I'll get Mom on.
Maybe I'll get your mom whenever you're not available. How do you feel about that?
Well, we'll have to see.
Okay, then.
Oh, Jamie said, I want to be a recurring call-in special guest.
Which
we tried that last
and
week.
And then maintenance is coming, which is our faithful JD says drums. Just talk drum tones.
I got to tell you, we had a pretty good following that was like keeping up with us. And we're actually disappointed in us that we weren't doing more frequently. And now some of those same people haven't listened to like the last three podcasts, I think, because we're just so Johnny on the spot. We're killing it. Proud of us.
People listen to this podcast that I didn't expect. Like, they will tell me something that came up on the podcast. I'm like, you listen? And I'm like, oh no, maybe I should stop this. If you're gonna listen, I'm stressed.
Well, I think the point of all of this, people, is I want some merch, and I want you to want merch too, so that it validates my feeling for wanting some Stand By Moments podcast merch. And also, we appreciate you. We are surprised, I think, by not you as individuals listening to this, but that people want to listen to what we have to say. Mm-hmm. And it's very fun and validating, and we appreciate you and are grateful for you. And thanks for being on this ride with us.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Well, that leads us into the next segment of this podcast, which is Random Questions by Whitney. We have one.
Oh, I thought we were going to our guest. I forgot we had this.
Yeah, we have one question.
Whitney has a question.
We have 3 minutes. And then our guest comes on.
Well, that's hard because I was going to ask you a question that I feel like is going to take longer than 3 minutes.
Go for it.
Perfect.
We keep talking about, in the last couple episodes, Jeremy has asked, like, well, how did you two know each other? Like, and so it's like referring to Maggie and the guest. But we have yet to hear the origin story of Maggie and Jeremy.
I think we have not covered this.
We've alluded to it multiple times, but we've not talked about the actual conversation.
Oh yeah. Oh, we're gonna have to push that one to the next episode. Yeah,
although I think we discovered the other day that we may have met a time before, because I can't just, Ethan could speak to this, if you came to Chicago,
which I did,
and Ethan was there and I was
which
there,
he was, you were not.
I'm telling you, we had to have cross paths. I don't know why Ethan wouldn't have introduced you to me.
Maybe he was embarrassed of you.
That hurt my feelings.
Did it? I'm really sorry. I take it back. Ethan, you're the worst if you didn't introduce us.
Yeah, maybe one day we'll tell that story.
Yeah, I feel like it's a little bit longer than 3 minutes.
Yeah, oh yeah, are you sure? Producer, I need you to do some research.
Y'all have not talked about what you said to her.
No, my goodness.
I'm telling you, that's not been on the podcast.
Okay. Jeremy should never be allowed to hire people. We'll leave it with that.
I will go back and make sure, but I don't think we've ever talked about it.
Well,
yeah, the interview. That was an interview.
It was a very tough time in our lives. And
kid, I was moving from Chicago. It was weird for everybody.
We're still kind of
weirder for me, but I dealt with it, and here I am.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for coming along, and we are starting our interview guest podcast in 3.
Should we say who it is?
Oh, did we say it last time?
No, we haven't said who our guest will be.
It is the young, the impressionable, the good looking, the one and only, most talented, tall,
buff.
Oh, he's got some good pecs.
Oh my god.
He can really hit the drums. Or the one and only.
I just got a text. Where is this production room I've never heard of? Yo, LOL. My goodness. Alex Gore.
The one and only Alex, the young kid, Gore.
All right, let's go find him.
Can't turn the AC on.
There's a unit right there. Can you turn that up?
No, because it's too loud. But the one in there should pump in here.
Okay. No, yeah. I can't. I have nothing under it.
Oh, hey. I'm dead too, man.
It's a very comfortable.
Let's
hoodie.
Leave all clothes on, please.
This I might have to. I might cut this out and put it on just the tease of the episode.
That's a good idea.
All right, everybody, quiet. All right. Well, Maggie, we have our guest here. Why are you guys laughing?
We're actually doing that.
Yeah, we're it's real.
We're live. These mics are hot.
So we have the one and only, as I already said, Alex the Kid Gore.
That's right.
What kind of nickname do you have?
What kind of nickname? Mostly people call me Gore.
I'm going to call you Pex.
Call me Pex?
Pex.
You were talking about me earlier?
Yeah, I talked about you earlier.
But I like how you opened the door to let him in and you just yelled, Gore! But his dad was also right there.
I'm just a Gore. It's like a familial thing.
Yeah, but both of y'all reacted the same way.
Hey, Jeremy.
Because he yelled both of y'all names technically.
Gore.
I did not look out the door before I yelled. I turned around like y'all were there.
No, I've been Gore for the longest time. When me and Ed are together, depending on where we're at, we're Mini Gore and Mega Gore.
Mega Gore.
That's one that I've heard of before.
Dang.
Or Baby Gore.
Baby Gore, yeah. Baby Gore. Daddy Gore and Baby Gore.
Sometimes I call you Young Son.
Young Son?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Young Son.
Yeah.
So you can refer to them whatever you choose.
Yeah.
We'll have an Instagram post for each name.
And if you have a better, we're going to post a picture of them. And we're going to have a name contest. We want everybody to jump in. Let's name this kid.
Please get creative.
Yeah, please. Man, can we show him your pecs?
Well, I don't have any cameras rolling right now.
No, we don't. All right.
Why is that such a hot topic?
Because, have you felt those bad boys?
No, I don't.
Maybe you shouldn't. You know, it makes men and women stumble. I'm just saying.
They're not this bad. Look, it's all in the family. It's genetics.
It's funny.
This man's down the family line.
I don't know that I've... Okay. Well. Wow.
Moving on.
Hey, Alex.
Is this age-restricted content?
No. Well, it's... Yeah, you try to keep it, PG.
No, yeah.
It's. Maybe. We haven't had to put R on any of them yet, so...
We shouldn't have to.
No. Hey, why don't you introduce yourself to our people?
Introduce myself.
Yep.
Well, my name is Alex. You could call me Gore. Call me whatever you want. I guess I'll start with my relationship to Jeremy.
Hey, yo.
On how I got called up to do this podcast.
That's right.
Which I will preface by saying I am terrible at talking when it comes to hot mics and hot cameras. But I will fumble through this interview if I have to, and I'll do it for Jeremy because I love him.
You're the best.
So
screw me.
Well, yeah, I like Maggie too. I like Maggie too.
What? Okay, once you're done, I'm going to tell a story of something that Gore and I did.
We did a lot of things, bro.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know Jeremy probably since I was, seven or eight?
Young boy playing soccer.
I was pretty young. Yeah, I remember it because you always used to be like, yo, how was that soccer tournament you had this weekend and stuff like that? I remember that. Mm-hmm. You were always very young and exciting. You still are.
Less young, still exciting.
Less young, still exciting.
Like my dog.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
All right. So yeah, known Jeremy for a really long time, but I really got to know Jeremy as I grew up at the Bayou Church, of course, serving on the worship team as a drummer.
Pretty bad.
And doing volunteer work and partaking in students and whatnot.
Hmm.
My profession currently is I am a software engineer. So grew up over here, went to UL for 4 years, got my degree in computer science with a minor in mathematics. Yes, I know it was a terrible 4 years, but it was great because now I can.
It's great now.
Now I can chill. It's pretty cool. So I'm a software engineer full time right now, but also trying to pursue a music career at the same time.
Mm. And you're in a pretty serious relationship.
I'm in a very serious relationship right now.
And she's fantastic.
She's very fantastic and could potentially be asking a question this year. She Whoa. Listens to this.
Whoa.
Just dropping a little hint. Like, you know?
Whoa. You heard it here first, folks.
I hope she does not listen to this.
Nah, pretty
Will you do
does.
Financial peace with me? Is that what the question is? It's just a random question?
Don't
Dave,
do it.
Dave
Don't
Ramsey,
go there.
I want you to put all your assets into 500.
Dave, if you listen to this, we appreciate you sponsoring.
Does Dave Ramsey sponsor this podcast?
No, he doesn't. I mean, he sponsors
I don't think
me.
He sponsors most things.
No.
That's not a great return on investment.
No, I mean, you got to sponsor eventually. I don't know. Yeah. Anywho.
Yes.
So, but let's talk a little bit about your drum career.
Yeah.
I mean, so did you played soccer and then you played drums? You did it?
So I kind of did both at the same time. I really started playing sports at like 3 or 4 years old.
But you're pretty killer. Like your team, like, were bad to the bone.
I did. I was actually the worst one. I was the bench warmer on the select team.
Shut up.
So I could say that.
You guys won like a big deal thing, didn't you?
Yeah, we won a few state championships, like U9 through freshman year pretty much.
Dang.
So I played from 4 until I was about 14 or 15. And then one season, this is when I really started to pick up on both sports and music at the same time. Mm. And so I joined the Lafayette High Band my freshman year. And then I was also trying to play select soccer and school soccer at the same time. First game of the season, basically destroyed my hip flexor and sat the bench. And then I had a very, very long conversation with my dad and God and was like, what am I going to do? Am I going to quit soccer? And what am I going to pursue? Like, which avenue am I going to take? And I actually found that to be a pretty easy decision. So around freshman year of high school, after I got injured, quit soccer and just like full on went into music. And that's kind of where it all started.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I had played drums my whole life, but I wasn't super serious about it until then.
So you already kind of had the chops.
I wouldn't say that, but I was decent for my age. I was decent. I was I'd been taking lessons forever from shout out to Holly Jo Gary at School of Rock.
If you guys want to sponsor, you can.
Yeah. We're having some technical troubles here.
How is it both of ours? Oh.
Don't worry, folks. Anyway, shout out Joe Gary.
Yeah, shout out Joe Gary at School Rock.
You want to sponsor us, you can.
I'm sure you'd love to.
Yeah. But we can also be friends and you don't have to give us anything.
He would do that too, probably.
He probably would, yeah.
He's a cool guy.
So,
So we're also, so you grew up with music in the house.
Oh, yeah. So I guess to
Daddy Ed is a monster.
Add some backstory.
Player.
Ed Gore was on the road playing with some cats all the time. So I was always, you know, at the studio while he was, I was just there watching movies and playing PlayStation while he was mixing for like Hunter Hayes and stuff in the background, and then going on the road for 2 weeks and coming back, and then eventually being involved over here, which is when I started attending the church. So yeah, music was like a huge proponent in life, like every single day, whether I noticed it or not when I was young. But really, my freshman year of high school was whenever I was like, all right, if I want to do this thing, I got to start taking it seriously. And what better time to start than right now?
Mm.
So, yeah.
That's nice.
I have another question, unless you have one.
I don't. Go
okay.
ahead.
Well, so fast forward, you started playing in the church band when you were still in high school.
Yes. I think it was like my sophomore, junior year.
And you, like by that point, you were still like, you weren't the level you are now, obviously, but you were still really good.
I definitely put in a lot of work to, you know, get in the student band, slowly work my way up, you know, for a few years, and then eventually become, you know, one of the guys that plays on Sunday.
Yeah, and by work it a few years, he means a few months, because he went from student ministry to big stage in like a matter of no time.
Look, you can blame that on Heath Gilbert. That was his decision. He decided to throw me in the fire as a young lad.
The Gilbert.
Oh, yeah.
He's good at that. So then you get to high school, you get to senior year.
Right.
You think you want to go into the military.
That was a thought for a while,
yeah. You ran like 80 miles one time. You did like a competition thing.
Yeah, I did a little 50-mile ultra marathon. Yeah,
a little bit.
A little slight
but,
race.
But then you went to a summer program.
Yes, so I was super heavy into marching band, mm-hmm. as well as, you know, playing the drum set and playing gigs and stuff. And I was like dead set snare drummer. I was like, I'm going to dedicate a whole year and a summer to just playing drums. So I auditioned for a traveling drum corps during the summer.
So for people who don't know what that means, what
so
is that?
So a drum corps, I would say, is basically a professional marching band. So it's like the level above high school. You take it to like essentially a national level, but it's not all high school students. It's both high school, college, independent. It like if you audition and you make it and you're under the age of 21, then you can be in the Corps. And so basically it's like marching band, but you spend basically a boot camp of 2 months learning this one like 12-minute show. And you perfect it and perfect it and perfect it like 10 to 12 hours a day. Like little sleep, little food. I came out like brown and skinny, dude. It was bad. It was bad. But I learned a lot from it. I had a really good time.
Everybody who does drum corps is like, that was rough. Like, it's like you went to a third world country came back. And I'm like, oh, for some drums. All right.
Well, and
the videos give me goosebumps, so I guess it works. But that's wild.
No, yeah, the most ironic part is like, I paid to do that. When you think of it, I was midway through and I was like 103 degrees in Cajun Dome Field or Cajun Field, just like putting in some serious work. And I was like, I paid to do this. It's like, but I still learned a whole lot and I still enjoyed myself. But at the end of that summer, yeah, I was like, I'm done with snare drumming. There's no future of, you know, just being a snare drummer for the rest of my life. So that was whenever I like put that to rest, you know, that summer.
And I think that Christmas we had you do the snare drum, didn't we?
Yep. Brought back good memories.
You're the only one that sounded good that day.
Oh, I doubt it.
Yeah, it's not true. I'm sorry for everybody who's listening. Why'd you lie to me? You all sounded really good. You sounded the best, though.
I did?
You did.
Oh,
you always do.
Thanks.
Well, that's pretty awesome. I mean, you're a monster drummer. You're young, but I think what I've noticed about you is you decide what you're gonna do, and then like you're freaking all in. And I think that's like an aspect of what we do in the production world. I mean, anything we do, but in the production world, like if you're not committed to it, if you're not gonna put in the time that no one sees, you're not gonna get the time that everyone does get to see.
Right.
And so, I don't know, you've been really inspiring to me to watch you in those process, you know, like, cause I've been around for a long time. I feel like the old man in the room now. but like I've seen you kind of grow up. Watch it. I've seen you grow up and like just to see your progress and then to be blessed enough for you to stick around has been awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I really couldn't have done it without any of you guys being around, too.
Well, I'll take the credit.
Likewise.
I just want, like, 2%.
Just 2%?
Yeah.
I'll give you 10.
Oh, heard that.
Dang.
Yeah.
What a win.
I'm feeling generous today.
But you don't just play drums.
I don't just play drums.
Don't lie.
I have become a fake bass player and keyboard player over time. I pretend. Listen, I'll say pretend. I pretend that I know how to play those.
But I think you do know how to play them. Except you're learning the bass right now.
Right. I mainly
you know how to play keys.
Yes. I do.
So you lie.
Well, the reason I say I'm pretend is because I'm not anywhere near the level I would like to call myself a professional of those instruments, nor do I get anywhere near touching like the level that I've gotten to on drums on those instruments, but I'll call it pretend for now.
You're not getting paid for it yet. That's what we've determined with pretend and professional.
That's correct. Yeah. I make $0 coming to my account when I play those instruments.
It's actually negative dollars. I have to pay people.
I gotta pay to play. It's kind of an issue.
Even then, they're like, I guess.
I mean, so you are super athletic. You play. I've played with you Ultimate Frisbee, and I mean, I kind of embarrassed you a couple of times.
Yeah,
but
you
we
did.
Don't
you
want to talk
I'll
people.
Admit that. I'll admit defeat.
We don't pretend that we all pretend that Jeremy can't play sports because it freaks me out whenever he's good
Dude,
at that kind of stuff.
Hey, don't let him fool you.
That's right.
Jeremy's
might
an
be
athlete,
fat,
bro.
But I'm quick.
Jeremy's an athlete.
You're not even that fat. You're just so weirdly good at things. It's jarring to watch.
You should watch me snowboard. It's bomb.
That's
going down the black diamonds.
I do. Every time I hit a tree, though, it's like the Ted Lasso high five tree, even if it's with my head. Boom! I took out a couple of trees a couple weeks ago. Anyways, so you do. So tell us like your career as far as your progress in the drum world. Do you play in church, out of church?
So. I guess I could start probably my senior year of high school. I pretty much, well, we'll say my junior year. I pretty much only played at church, like on Sunday mornings, celebrate recovery, or like events here and there. And then once I got to my senior year, I kind of started to establish a spot in the music scene locally in Lafayette, just from meeting a few guys over here at the church that were playing out there, and started to kind of toss my name around in the hat. Like, yo, there's this young guy. Like, let's give him a shout on drums. That was whenever I started playing with a bunch of different artists outside of church, which forced me to, number one, be responsible. Mm. Number two, grow up really fast.
Yeah, because before you were legal, you were playing in clubs and bars.
Right. Which was always a funny situation. There's been a few where they're like, can we let this kid in? He's only like 17. We can't let him in the green room tonight. Stuff like that. But yeah, it really picked up my senior year. And then once I got into college, it was like...
Game on.
Yeah, I just had to give it my best and work and grind pretty hard. And, you know, once it all paid off, you get your name out there, and then other people see you at gigs and are like, hey, man, like, what's your name? It's good to meet you. And then they plug your name to other people, and then it kind of built up to where I'm at now, which is where I'm consistently gigging at churches every week, but then also gigging outside maybe like 2 or 3 times a week.
Dang, seriously?
Yeah.
So how does that work? Are you like, do people call you to play, like, sub in, or are you just like in a bunch of bands that just play?
So it's kind of a mixture of both. So I'm in a few projects where I'm like the main guy, but then a lot of times it's like I'll get a call from an artist that's like, hey, I got this one gig, I got this one private party, or I have this weekend of gigs where we're going to whatever city for whatever venue or an event, and they're like, hey, here's the set list, can you learn this? We'll show up, no rehearsal needed, let's just do it, kind of deal. So it's kind of both right
What's
now.
What's that? Okay, dive into that a little bit. What's that pressure like? Like, what does it feel like to just not have a rehearsal with someone you've never played with and freaking get out there and kill it?
I think there used to be a lot of pressure just because I was less confident and I kind of had to grow doing that kind of thing. But I think mainly it was just like, if they send you the set list, you ask them, you know, you want this, you want this. Is this exactly what you want? They're like, yep. And then you just got to put in all the back end work. So that way you show up like you've been playing with those guys forever. So that way you make a good impression, and then they call you back again, and then soon enough you become the main guy, and that's kind of how it builds. It is kind of high pressure, because when we play, you know, pretty high stakes gigs like weddings and things like that, like, you don't want to screw up somebody's wedding. Yeah, or like there's events where you do like release parties that are played and stuff like that. There's a lot of pressure, but I think ultimately, kind of tying this into what this podcast is mainly focused on, is like, you just gotta trust the process and then grind pretty hard and show up and make sure you put your best foot forward.
Dang.
Or else you get eaten up.
I appreciate you bringing out that full circle right there. Damn, that was good stuff.
Thank you.
I'll pay you later for that one.
Yeah, it takes the pressure off of us for that.
Yeah, can I sponsor this video, by the way?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, you can.
So what bands are you currently in right now?
So I'm in, right now, my main project is a local jazz fusion kind of band called Bad Bongo. And we're about 3 or 4 years in, and we're starting to get a good bit of traction. Outside of that band, I am playing with artists like Sarah Russo, a bunch, Ray Boudreaux, Lane Mack, just kind of some local folks around here. I'm now picking up a few Zydeco gigs that I'm a part of now.
Watch out, don't get sucked in.
Shoo. It's an industry, dude. Oh, yeah. That's what it is.
You'll lose a little bit of an IQ there.
I mean, I'm sure I've already done that. But
I mean, y'all, Bad Bongo, y'all have played festival before.
Yeah.
I've seen y'all there in literally full day of festival, and I think that they put you on the smallest stage, and y'all had the biggest crowd of the day. It was pretty funny to watch. So it was like in the middle of the food truck court.
The
food truck court was like full of not food court truck people.
That night was pretty insane. The turnout that we got for that, which, shameless plug, April 26th, Friday Festival, 9 to 10 p.m. We'll be playing same stage.
Really?
Then a free show from 12 to 2 a.m. at Green Room if you want to swing by. Wow. Yeah.
Green Room is insane for y'all to play in.
It's wild.
I went there and literally it was me, JD, and like I went to watch y'all, but I don't do well of like a bunch of people. I was like, I am not going in there.
Yeah.
And then we were like, where's JD? And we look inside.
He's right in the front, huh?
And JD was like, in the very
pushed everybody out the way.
Yep. Yeah, just listening to the speakers, it was pretty funny. But Green Room's such a small space for y'all to play, because y'all aren't a small band.
No, it's for context, for people that don't know, it is a 9-piece horn and rhythm section band. So there's 4 horns and 5 people in the rhythm section.
Dang.
So I will say that this band makes absolutely no money, but
yet
it is my favorite gig, and yet that's also subject to change in the next couple months.
Really? Like a potential signing kind of thing?
I wouldn't say signing. Festival is going to be like our big, hey, this is who we are. If you didn't see us last year. And then we're going to try and not plug tour dates, but we do have a little bit of a tour coming up, and we've made a lot of connections with people in big cities, which is where the takeoff begins. So
bro, how is that going to work with your job?
Yeah. So that's the complicated part. So I'm lucky enough to have a technical job where I'm almost would never have to go into the office unless I have to deal with some sort of physical server or hardware, which I normally never do, which is great because I'm a software developer, but predominantly I'm a web developer, so I just build websites predominantly. So my plan is to basically work remote while I'm on the road, so it's going to be a rough, you know, month and a half, 2 months of, you know, waking up at 7 a.m. on a Monday after I played a 11 to 2 a.m. gig, work 8 hours a day, you know,
do it all
hopefully find a place to shower, eat, and then, you know, do it again kind of deal.
I feel like you're kind of prepared for this already, though. Like, you did it in high school, you did it in college, you've kind of been in this, maybe not like the roadside or the extended roadside,
right,
but I feel like you've conditioned yourself for this moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think 2 months isn't... I think it's very obtainable. Drum Corps taught me how to do it anyways. Yeah. It's like, you know how to suffer and how to grind for a little bit for like a, you know, a payoff at the end.
Dude, that's wild. Do you think there's potential for this thing to go big?
I think maybe not go big quite yet, but at the minimum, like, get some new folks listening to us, but more importantly, you know, get other venue owners, get other bands that like, dude, y'all killed it, we want y'all to come play a set with us.
So it's no lyrics, it's just music.
There are it's predominantly instrumental,
that's the word.
But we do have a few songs now where our keyboardist sings and plays. So
are you writing and recording music as well? Like, do you have it on Spotify?
We do have it on Spotify. We have a few singles on Spotify right now. If you go to, we actually changed the band name from Bad Bongo to That Bad. So if you look up That Bad on Spotify, we have a few singles. But right now, we have 8 or 9 tunes that we're going to try and make an album. And that should hopefully be out by the end of the summer while we're doing the traveling and the touring.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's going to be a journey because we're not doing it we don't have the money for the tour bus and the hotels and the legit way to do it, but I think it'll be more fulfilling at the end of the day.
I was going to say, this is the legit way to do it.
Yeah.
Everyone starts at this place.
Exactly.
How you're going to do that with your job. What made you choose to, like, I mean, you could have just gone full force into music.
Right.
Like a lot of people do. What made you have this tech degree and/career? Instead of just going full-fledged into music?
Yeah, I mean, I like both a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, I was always interested in, you know, tech, computer science, programming, math, whatever you want to call it. And then my dad, being a, you know, musician his entire life, was like, look, bro, He was like, I finally realized after 40 years of doing this, he was like, the one thing that you do and you love becomes the one thing that you hate because it becomes a job. And it becomes like, if I don't play music, like, I won't be able to feed my family at the end of the day. So he was a huge, like, encourager and inspiration of, like, go get your degree in something. That way you have something to fall back on. And so that one worked out perfectly for me.
Papa Gore.
Yeah, he
coming in clutch with that wisdom.
He had to sit me down before I hit the road at 19.
Yeah, because you were chomping at the bit to do it.
I was ready to go. Yeah. Yeah.
Are you like, now that you're on the other side of it, how do you feel?
I'm very glad that I took that advice because, like, now I can still pursue music and still be flexible with my job and then not have to worry about music being my financial, you know, number one provider. Because I think I would end up in the same spot of like, man, am I doing this just to make money or am I doing it because I love music? You know, it becomes a like kind of a gray area because I don't want music to be my financial thing. You know, I don't want it to be work. I want it to be music. Mm-hmm. Like it's something that I've loved forever and it's something that everybody loves, you know, and I didn't want it to become a job or a hassle.
Do you think you ever get to a point where if like, Bad Bongo did like a bigger thing that you would have to like leave tech behind and go on the road and then find something after, or have you thought about that? Or are you just going to try and do both for as long as you can?
I'm going to try and do both. But to your point, there will become a moment where if we start to, you know, get longer tours, travel longer places, or then even if we do start to make a good bit of money, I'm going to have to make a decision of like, okay, what am I going to prioritize here, you know? And I try not to think about it too much because I think it scares me sometimes because I'm like, geez, this is like life-altering. And, you know, if I plan on, you know, having a family and responsibilities and that kind of thing, you know, I got to figure out a way to balance both or, you know. But ultimately,
lucky for you, sorry.
No.
Lucky for you, I mean, worship does provide that kind of median ground, right?
Yeah.
Like to where you can work. Church happens after work usually.
Right, right, right.
And you can do it and have fun with it, I assume.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
But, which, yeah.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, it's like you only get one life, though.
Right.
So you have to really figure out something. You can't do everything. Something's going to sacrifice. You got to sacrifice something.
Right.
And so that's like a, yeah, that's crazy. How's it? So before I forget, you did mention earlier I get 10% of your success. So yes, if you do make it big time,
10% goes to you. 10%. I'll make sure.
Yeah,
10% to the church.
It's like the tithe. Yeah. My tithe to Jeremy. Oh,
can we do 9%? That makes me feel yucky.
9.8, 9.9.
I'm fine with that. Listen, just buy me a G wagon. All right,
a whole G wagon.
Yeah,
I can get you like a mini car.
Mm-mm, no, I have faith in you. That's my deal with Darcy, too. When she left, I said, listen.
You better give me a G-Wagon right now.
If you hit it big.
What a thing to ask.
You and Darcy could split it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and y'all both
fine.
Get big.
Me, yeah. Darcy, and Kieran can
this,
split it.
This comes from my buddy Christopher Holmes. He's like, if everyone just gives me a small percentage of their success based on how I've done for them, I'll be set.
That is... And here we are. You could be friends. I don't need anything from you.
if you want to pay it forward, a G-Wagon's all I'm asking for. I'll never be able to afford it.
That's all you're asking for.
Well, listen, if you dude's making $10 million a year, what's 250 grand?
Like, dang it, how do you go back to school? Here, look, web developer making $10 million.
Music. He's going to be...
Here's what I'll do. I'll take financial peace with Dave Ramsey. I'll put all of my cash money into assets, and then I'll buy you a G-Wagon.
I appreciate you.
Can't wait.
But listen, we can still just be friends, and you don't owe me anything.
But
if you decide you want to pay me back.
You would totally... I don't have to pull your leg.
No. We'll have to figure out the whole tax thing, but it'll be fine. I could probably pay taxes on that.
Taxes.
If you become your own church, you don't have to pay taxes.
No, separate that feels so yucky. Oh no!
Separate church and state.
All right, listen, you guys are just taking this over the board. Did you have another question? No. I think I have another question.
Go ahead.
So in the, I guess I want to break it to, so like the common denominator for all of us is like just the love and the desire for the live production, like
right.
the thrill that comes along with it. And you work really hard, you know, like to be excellent at what you do. And I think I have two questions, but well, I guess the first question is like, tell us about what it's like. Cause I have never been in a band, right? I don't know what it's like to I try and they never let me. Your dad actually doesn't let me.
Is there any particular reason?
He told me one time, I was like, hey Heath, can I listen, I wanna do it. He's like, great, we're gonna have rehearsals next year.
That was in January, right?
Yeah. He's like, yeah, come back to me next January. I'm like, wait, buddy. He's like, yeah, that'd be fine. Okay. So obviously I never made it. Anywho, so we're playing in a band, you know, like it's gotta be super thrilling. And I'll watch you guys play, and band have their own language. You guys don't speak normal English. You speak band.
We speak band
talk. Yeah. You're like, ka, ka, pa, pa, you know, yeah. Da, 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 pa, pa, ki, ki, ka, ka, ka. And you're like, yeah. Da, 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 pa, pa, ka, ka. Like that? Yeah. Like that. Or, or ching, ching. You know, like, that's how you guys talk.
No, yeah. It's a language.
And you'll all understand what you're saying. And I'm just on the other side dumbfounded that you get anything accomplished. Can you tell us about like what that feels like? And then like when you get there and you've landed it. Like I guess it's a twofold question. Because I love watching you guys play. Because when you do something creative or you nail something or you pop something, it's like everybody kind of looks around at each other and like you have that grin on your face.
Smug, you do like, you get a little smug look.
You know, and you don't miss a line. So like what's that like? Tell us about it.
Well, I'll throw you back a comparison.
Okay.
How about this?
All right.
Whenever I see tech guys and tech gals or the tech team in general, and they're working on stuff, and I'm in the backseat listening to what's going on, and they're like, yeah, we're going to get the flux capacitor, we're going to rig it up here to whatever, this camera, we're going to speed on one, or then we're going to, okay, let's switch on two, okay, yeah, switching right. See, it's like, it's the same thing. It's that parallel of like, I have no idea what's going on right now, but it is like a beautiful language, a beautiful way of communicating to get one product, you know? Mm.
I will say
that's fair.
And it happens both good and bad, but I mean the bad stands out most to me of like on Sundays something will happen and you know like it's slightly off. To the untrained person,
right.
Nobody knows the difference. But so like sometimes you're like, ooh, that was a little strange. Yeah. That was a drum.
And then
that,
you see everybody look at each other like laughing.
You look on elephant stage in the room, and everyone's man. Just like either laughing or like moving on. Nobody knows what happened.
Nobody knows.
But like, I'll look at JD and JD's like wide eyed, just like chuckling to himself. I'm chuckling and I look on stage and they're also laughing. And my favorite is being on ears with like the MD, usually, or like with the band, of like hearing what's going on and then watching their reactions because I can't usually talk back, but watching the band's reactions to each other is really fun to watch. And also just like what gets me is the ability to like listen to the MD or whatnot and play at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
That I can't.
Or the click.
I can get the click, but
no,
the
I can't.
But the talking or whatnot I can't get. Like, Kieran's really good about, like, encouraging people as they sing. And I'd be like, can you please shut up?
I'm telling you, if you were, like, in that position, you'd feel encouraged. By the way, shout out to Kieran.
Shout out, Kieran.
He's on the episode that I believe just dropped.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could kiss his sweet little Scottish forehead.
Oh, but he was wearing a wife beater. I've never seen him.
Whoa, yeah, that's a Heath move.
He was showing his shoulders.
Jeez,
they were handsome.
But there's like a whole war in the in ear monitors going on when stuff is maybe not necessarily hitting the fan, but it's definitely about to fall off the tracks, and you got the clicking guide going a different place, and the MD's like, just ignore everything and follow my voice, please. It's like getting out of a maze with, you know, 10 monkeys that don't know what they're doing. We're just like, roger that, boss, we're gonna follow you. And then we all look at each other and we collectively agree to follow the leader, you know?
Oh, that's amazing. I've never that's awesome. So what does it feel like when you nailed it? Like, what's that rush you get?
Well, minus the like physiological, just like adrenaline and whatever release comes from that. I don't know. I guess I never really think about nailing it. It's like when you nail something, you're like, you just feel confident. And you know that like the team or the band or whatever, just they put in the work in order to nail it. And everybody showed up, you know, in the right headspace, the right mindset. And I think it all comes down to like, you know, everybody had to do their part together. Mm. And so when you nail something as a group, it really creates a, like a sense of like camaraderie and a community to me. Mm. So you just feel like confident as a group.
That's what keeps you coming back.
Yeah.
Do you feel the same level as, cause I know whenever I'm doing lights, and it's a very like intense section of a show and it all falls on the cueing of
right.
music and band or whatnot. I'm nervous that something's not going to go right for music. I mean, for lighting wise, or I'll miss the cue, but band, you'll have a whole separate set of worries of like, what if we don't nail this intro or whatnot. Is it ever like very nerve wracking to do those things?
I think sometimes it is. Like if we were to try to do the, like for example, we do a Christmas production at the Bayou Church every year. If we were to try to do that and we were just like, you know what, screw it. We're only going to have two rehearsals. Mm. And then we showed up on Friday night, 7 o'clock, packed auditorium. It would be like, you know, It would be a fumble fest all the way around, you know? Like, there's no preparation. Everyone's scrambling. Everyone's on edge. Like, oh, gosh, what are we going to do? Are we going to nail this part? But I think most of the time, like, the only time I ever feel nervous is when I am unprepared for something. Dang. I think that's what it comes down to. Like, preparation and practice.
Yeah.
So what's the funnest part about being a drummer?
I mean, I just get to hit stuff, you know? You just get to hit drums.
How does all your limbs not just fall off?
Practice. I don't know. Probably by the time I turn 50, I'll have, like, tinnitus and, like, everything. Not tinnitus. Tendonitis in every joint in my body. But
I forgot what song it was for Christmas, but we would always look at Alex and you're like, you had shed your coat eventually.
Oh, dude, yeah.
You had a long sleeve, and then at the end, you were not in long sleeves and just like...
No, wife yeah. beard.
shout out to me and Montero for making me wear that hot jacket in the drum cage for 2 hours.
With no AC.
But I funny story about that. I came to amends, I made a deal with me. I was like, look, I will wear it for the serious half of the show, and the second we start playing Christmas carols and tunes, I'm taking this thing off, bro. It's good sweaty.
Good for you.
I'm tired.
Way to follow the leader and compromise.
I try my best to make everybody happy.
What's the hardest part?
The hardest part? Oh, as a drummer, I mean, you got to like, if you fall apart, everybody falls apart. So there is a huge responsibility the whole time of like, you got to be the foundation. You got to take a two-lane road and make it a 12-lane highway. You got to set up the band. And so there's a lot of confidence that you got to have to do that kind of thing. And so you really got to like motivate yourself and again, prepare, practice, so that way you don't have to worry about what do I need to play for this part or what is this part of the song like. You have the roadmap. And you just got to lead everybody. You got to drive the bus. That's probably, I would say, the hardest part. It took me personally a lot of practice and failure, honestly. I just had to be bad at it first to realize what I was doing wrong. Take advice from people. Don't let it get to my head. You know, don't let ego get involved. And then just become a better leader. So I think leadership as a drummer is probably the hardest thing.
Dang. That's quality. That's like a snippet right there. We put that on social.
Plug it.
That'll probably go viral. We'll give you 10%.
10%? 10 for 10?
No, that's really awesome. I just think about, we've been to war quite a bit together, in our production lives. And so is there any particular story that you would want to share?
Oh, I got the perfect one. Cue it up. I think you might have been setting this one up, but I won't say anything.
Yeah. So And while you're talking about the story, by the time we're done that story, I think we're going to be at the end of our time.
So really?
We're already there? That quick.
What the heck?
So be thinking about your a standby moment.
A standby moment?
Yeah. So okay. Go ahead. Tell the story.
Okay. So this is, I believe, 2020 Christmas concert.
Yeah.
So we're going back to the Christmas concert. This is where... This is where me and Jeremy and Maggie and everybody go to war for 2 months of their life. This year, I'm not playing drum set. I was on percussion this year, which I enjoyed thoroughly, by the way, because that was super fun. I had to be less responsible, and I could kind of just
more
like
creative.
Have fun, be more creative. Well, I think this is the Friday night show, the first show that we're doing, and like auditorium's packed. You know, the lights are going, the cameras are going, like everybody's super excited, you know, everybody's, you know, ready to attack what we've just been working on for the past 3 or 4 weeks. And in the middle of a song, all of a sudden everybody stops and looks at each other, and I have no idea what's going on. I'm like, what just happened? And so I look over at Jason, who was playing bass at the time, and I was like, dude, what's going on? I'm like, I haven't felt the difference. I don't know what's happening. Well, basically what happened is one rack that controls all of the band packs that we wear just went out. Yeah, for the in-ears went out. So there's like 5 people on stage. Most importantly, the person that is singing the song, all the packs go out, right? And I'm like, well, this isn't good. So I give my pack.
Well, so for everyone who's listening who doesn't understand that, no click, no guide,
nothing.
No other instruments. Literally in their ears was dead silence during a set.
Talk about panic moment. Like hearing silence from the in-ears is like complete panic. Because there's no way to pull this thing off without everybody being able to hear each other. It's a huge stage. The drummer is already isolated because he's in a cage. You're trying to follow a track that's still going in other people's ears. So if they keep following the track and you can't hear the track, everyone's just in for a bad time.
And for people who really don't know, so during performances, musicians and singers wear in-ears, like earphones, with a mix of like what we hear as audience. And also a click to keep them on time, and then a guide that tells them where they are in the song. Because without all of that, if you took that away, it would be like if you were listening to a speaker that was like 50 feet away from you, trying to hear what was being played by everybody else in the band. Because it's not like a guitar is not going to make noise unless it's coming out of a speaker, and you can't hear that speaker. That's what they're experiencing.
Right. So, yeah, no one can hear each other. We're all trying to communicate, but also not make it known to the audience that, like, like junk has hit the fan. And so I end up looking around, and I look at the monitor rack. So I look at where all the, you know, the things are going on behind the scenes, and I see Jeremy over there, like, messing with stuff. I'm like, uh-oh. I'm going to go talk to him real quick. I have an unimportant job right now. I'm going to go talk to him. So I go over there, and I'm like, hey, I don't know if you noticed this or not. I'm sure you have, but I was like, what's going on? And Jeremy just looked at me and he was like, Gore, I broke it. And I was like, Jeremy, what are you talking about, bro? He was like, I broke it, dude. I was trying to fix something for Heath that had been going haywire the whole weekend.
So pause.
Okay,
yeah. This is what happened.
This whenever his ears went out.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Yeah.
So
like right before the show started,
I'm about to work a camera, and someone hails me over our intercom, and they're like, "Hey, Jeremy, Heath lost his ears." And I said, well, what am I supposed to do about that? Tell the man to go find him. I thought he's physically lost his headphones. And they were like, no, Jeremy, he doesn't have his ears. And I said, again, what am I supposed to do about that? And they said, his mix isn't working. It doesn't work. He cannot hear. And I said, oh, no. And so Heath was supposed to come out in the opening song.
Yeah.
And he didn't show up. And everyone's like, where is Heath? We thought he was taking a dump or something.
Also, his solution was going to be, if they don't work, we'll just cut half the set. I was like, that's not a solution.
He was in the back of the he was in the back of the room, like, just like, I don't know, it doesn't work.
I'm
going
to do it.
And so that's, so I'm working on the console. Okay, I'm so trying to figure out, and the console's frozen. It's completely frozen. I can't do anything with it. And at that point, you came over to me. And you're like, dude, what's going on? I'm like, I think I have to turn it off. And you're like, bro. And I was like, I know. It's broken. I don't know what to do. That's when you come and meet me.
Yeah, it was a... So we kind of have that exchange. And I'm thinking... I'm trying not to panic. Because I'm like, dude, if we can't fix this...
I'm panicking.
This show is done. Like, we're going to have to literally be like... Hey, we have some technical difficulties. We got to stop the show, kind of thing.
And we're about to roll into the most critical part of the whole show.
Correct. We're on like the big, like we're at the top of the hourglass. Mm-hmm. We like just came down for a little bit, and then we're starting to come back out again. You know,
how many songs in are we at this point?
We're like
four.
Yeah, we're like a third of the way into the show, probably.
And what's about to come up is Heath and Ed.
Right.
The only two.
Right,
Ed's playing the piano,
mm-hmm.
and he's about to lead this epic, like, ballad, if you will.
Yeah.
Right, it's the heartbeat song.
Yeah, I was about to say it's the
I believe it
super
was
super dramatic.
It's a it's a song called "Mercy" by the Brilliance. Yes. If you want to go and listen to it, that'll give you a good.
We'll link it in the description.
It'll give you a good example of how, like. Dynamic, but then also ambient the song was to have without everybody being on the same page, which is the crazy part that I'll get to after me and Jeremy's like quick talk. So I walk over there, we have that exchange. I'm like, I like look at Jeremy and I was like, dude, you got this. You're like the only person that can fix this right now. I was like, I'm not trying to be mean, but like, you got to fix this right now.
I'll never forget it.
I was like, you got this, dude.
And he actually cursed at me and he's like, bro. Yeah, Alex is like, you got that. Like, I've never felt more encouraged and more afraid my entire life. And so I did it.
You did it. You fixed it.
And everyone's ears at that point went out. Everybody.
Yep.
Because I did both consoles. They just took it down. Everyone's ears, they all look at me again. Everyone just goes, snaps their head back at me. Me and Gore are standing there. Gore hands... At the time, the vocal monitor's only going to work. So
yeah.
Gore hands, he's on the vocal, he hands his pack over to Heath, and he's like, Heath, go out there and get it done. So Heath goes out there and gets it done, or he's starting, and as Heath is doing it.
I snuck up behind him, unplugged his pack, and plugged mine in, and he was like, he just didn't question anything. He just kept going.
And in that process, I killed Ed's pack. So in a moment... Ed's playing, and he can't hear Heath. And Heath is singing, and he can hear Ed, but Ed doesn't know where he's going. Mm-hmm. And somehow, everyone figured it out.
Yep.
It was the most beautiful, stressful.
That all took place in about a minute, because it happened during Carol's... It had to have happened during the welcome. So
it felt like a lifetime.
That's a lot that happened in 1 minute.
It was a minute.
It felt like a lifetime.
It felt
an
a long
eternity.
Time. Yep.
I was like watching my life just go by. I thought I was going to have a heart attack. I was so, and then like I loaded the scene, I restarted the console, and at the right time in the right place, everybody came to life.
Yep.
And Gore looked at me, he's like, bro, you did it. And I'm like,
fixed it.
I fell out. I just fell down, I think. I was over it. I don't drink and I don't smoke, but I was really considering it.
Yeah, that was the crazy part, is right before it got to, like, you know, the epoch of the ballad, whatever you want to call it, everybody was like, boom, right on it. It was like a miracle that happened.
It was total God.
Straight up example of faith. Yeah.
No one in the crowd knew.
Yeah, no one had any idea. We asked a few people, were like, did y'all notice anything? They're like, I don't know. I didn't see anything.
It was wild.
It was crazy.
It's one of my favorite stories with you.
Dude, it was only a minute, but holy moly, dude.
Well,
all right, that leads us to a standby moment.
Yeah.
Standby moment.
If that doesn't scream standby for, I don't know what does.
Yeah.
But, so, are you familiar? You've listened to the podcast, but standby moment, it's could be the moment like that, where you're like, everybody just needs to stand by. We're in full-on panic. Things are broken. We need a minute to process. figure this thing out, or it could be like that moment where you're so appreciative, like you realize the beauty in what you're doing and mm-hmm. the beauty in the people you're doing it with.
Yeah, I think I have a pretty good example. It's really not anything as epic or like crazy as, you know, what we just talked about. But there's been a few like this, but there's this weird, I guess I'll call it a theory. So it's if you do bad in rehearsal at church, the service is just like magical. Now, I'm not going to say that happens all the time.
But it's happened quite a bit.
That's why rehearsals always go bad whenever Alex is there.
So, that explains it.
It's a trade-off. You know? No, I'm just kidding. There was one Sunday in particular, though, where like the tech gremlins, you know, were screwing everything up. And it's like 5:45 in the morning, for context. So everybody's already tired. We got to be up early. Like, we got a pretty long 6 or 7 hours ahead of us. And like, we just can't pull this thing together. Like, we start the first song, and it's just like kind of a train wreck. And we try it again, and then we get to the end of rehearsal, and everybody's stressed out. Everybody's asking questions. It's like, oh, what are we doing for this part? What are we doing for this? What's this? Whatever. And we get to the end of rehearsal, and we're like, man, I hope the service goes okay. Like, I guess we'll see, like, you know? And, man, we get on stage, you know, they do the roll-in or whatever, and we start the first song, and it was like this switch just, like, flipped itself on. And it didn't take communicating anything. It didn't take changing anything. It was just like this, I mean, you could call it spirit intervention. You can call it whatever you want, but, like, there was just this moment of like, look, we're just going to play music together, whether it's good or bad. You know, we want to be excellent, you know, whenever we can, we want to be excellent all the time. But sometimes you can't focus so much on how good the product is going to be. It's more about who the product is for. Mm-hmm. And that for me was a pretty life-changing perspective.
Dang.
That's my standby. Still happens to this day.
Yeah, it sure does.
But I know now that I have the faith of, like, I know it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
You know?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that. Hey, thanks for coming. We appreciate you.
Dude, thank you for having me.
This was a lot of fun.
Super fun.
Well, thank you. And for all the listeners, thank you. We appreciate you. We love you. And can't wait to see you or hear you or talk. I guess can't wait to talk to you again.
Yeah.
Talk at you real soon.
Yeah.
Anything you want to say?
No, just keep listening. Send us some text sometimes whenever you have comments.
Yeah.
And then we'll tell you to leave a comment in the comment section if you can find it. Let us know how to get to the comment section. Maybe somebody can tell us that. Anyway.
Yeah, just take them, talk to us. Just talk to us, please.
We're lonely.
Yeah, we're just lonely. We're just here in the closet. Come talk to us. All right, guys. We love you. Alex, love you, man. Thanks for being with us.
Love you too, bro. Love you guys.
We'll catch y'all on the flip side.